as we should. We're focused on the Arizona Cardinals side of things. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. You want Coyotes? That's 92.3 tonight in Chicago. You want Sun Devils? That's ASU Stanford on ESPN 620 AM. And if you want the Arizona Cardinals taking on the Denver Broncos, our coverage starts at 1:30 today. And just a free plug for those of you Eastsiders, so you understand, being a West Side guy, I can tell you this. If you plan on leaving, like you're taking a half day off of work and you're leaving late lunch, you should be okay on the 10.
Yeah.
Because we're dealing with a lot of construction on the 10 on the west side as the 202 is getting connected around South Mountain. But if you are thinking that you're going to cross downtown at some point, I would say after 1:30, take the 101 all the way around.
Really?
Don't mess with the 10. If you think
why
you're
is that, hit, Douglas?
It's just too packed. It'll be too loaded. You don't want to mess with it. So take the 101 around. If you don't think you can get through the tunnel, I would put the tunnel as your landmark. If you don't think you can get to the tunnel by 1:30 on your way to the game, then take the 101 all the way around, because it's going to be a mess with the construction issues that we have on the west side right now. But the game itself, do you remember the famous fumble and the hit on Sam Bradford, and Sam Bradford laying on the ground with his hands on his helmet, and then boom, yes. It's now Josh Rosen time.
Yeah, I do remember.
We're talking Broncos offense, and guess what the talk is all over Denver, is whether or not this should be the last game of Case Keenum.
Wow, is that right? Honestly?
And because of that, they're dealing with the same thing, so there's going to be a different pressure on Case Keenum, that even though he got paid, he's fighting for his job.
Wow.
And it's Jim Kelly's nephew is the backup, and there's already that love of the backup
of
that's
course.
Going on in Denver right
yes.
now. And so there are pressures there to do something if you're Denver. So this is a big moment for this Broncos offense. We talk a lot about how bad the rush defense is for Denver, the expectations of Mike McCoy and David Johnson, but we haven't looked at the Cardinals offense very much the other way around. We haven't looked at that Broncos offense very much against the Cardinals defense, and from a Denver point of view, it's all about Case Keenum.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Douglas. You're nailing this thing right here. I did not know, though, that Case Keenum, people are up there calling for Case Keenum to be benched.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that he's thrown an awful lot of picks. That much I do know right now, and some of them have been bad based on these. There's no doubt about it. But the Cardinals have got to stop the run. This game is all about stopping the run. What a cliche it is. It is. You know why it's a cliche? You know why it's a stereotype, Basedonians? Because it's the truth. It's been around forever. The pattern continues to repeat itself over and over and over again when you're talking about a National Football League team in particular, let alone a football team. If you don't stop the run, we've seen what happens if you don't stop the run. The demoralization of a football team is apparent and obvious for everybody when you cannot stop the run. We have seen it firsthand with a front row seat with the Arizona Cardinals. You saw what happened last week in Minnesota, and that's not the first time, nor will it be the last. The Cardinals have got to stop the run. I realize it's an understatement, but this team is going to come out in 21 personnel, meaning the Denver Broncos in two backs with a fullback. 21 personnel is what it's called. They're going to come out, and they're going to probe that nickel front of the Arizona Cardinals. They're going to run the spear through that front seven and find out firsthand just how bad the Cardinals are up front. Just how bad are they? That's going to be their game plan. We're going to find out just how bad it is.
This is just a simple test of manhood, this game. It really is. I hate to be that rude.
So-
But it's
cheese ball.
There's a lot of truth to that. You need to hear this. We're about to ready to do something in the next beautiful part of the program that I admit I find entertaining. Wolf can't stand these things. But coming up, we are going to do what we call a simulcast in the business. And the Doug and Wolf show will be live in Denver on 104.3 The Fan in Denver. And then here, we will have their host, Schlereth and Evans,
yeah,
right here in Phoenix. So Mark Schlereth, Super Bowl winner with the Redskins, and he may or may not have done some things with the Broncos, are going to be on. But Mark is also an every Wednesday guest of Bickley and Murata.
Right.
And yesterday, Bickley and Murata were really nice. It was Vince who really built up this simulcast that's upcoming and said Mark Schlereth is going to be on with Doug and Wolf tomorrow. And Mark sounded unbelievably excited about this when we said, hey, are you looking forward to that?
How much fun is that going to be? Listening to Wolfie go...
Right?
I can't wait.
That's outstanding. It's outstanding.
I'm not going to understand a word he says. I'm just going to go, uh-huh. Yeah, I agree.
Stank, you know what? Honestly, every time I see Stank, he comes up to me, yeah, baby, what are you doing? Gives me a big hug, right? This guy, Stank, is
he's done almost
favorites.
As many Cardinals games as you have this year.
Yeah, absolutely right. There's no doubt about it. And he is one of my favorite analysts. There's no doubt about
he's
it.
He's a good dude. Mark Schlereth is a Fox color analyst for Fox football. And he just got on the Cardinals beat, it seemed like, for quite a few weeks. And he's not on that game this week, as this is a Fox major game. Fox actually brings the A crew. Aikman comes in for this game because it's a part of their big Thursday night package. But coming up next, we'll have them back it up about a little bit about Case Keenum. But the real thing is the coaching staffs. Like, everybody in Denver is under fire. They're on a longer losing streak than the Cardinals. Broncos started 2-0. They've lost four straight.
Yes.
Everybody wants Mike McCoy's head here, and he got his head chopped off in Denver last year. So this game has so many implications going for the future. We'll find out who's got more to lose coming up next when we go live with Denver talk show Schlereth and Evans on 104.3 The Fan in Denver to talk Broncos Cardinals on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Got a tweet here from Jeremiah that says, we should be talking Suns all morning. Well, basically we are. It's Suns, Cardinals, Suns, Cardinals, Suns, Cardinals. And if you're an ASU fan, we spent the whole 6:15 beautiful part of the program talking about the Sun Devils. If you want Coyotes today, that's our FM news station, News Talk 92.3 KTAR. We've got Coyotes over there. If you want ASU, you want ASU Stanford. That's ESPN 620 AM. And then right here on 98.7 FM, we got the Cardinals.
You guys, this is a simulcast.
They're bringing in, guys.
They need to join with us.
What's up, boys?
All right.
How are you guys?
There we go. Morning, guys. How you doing?
What's up, man?
Good. I haven't had a chance to tell everybody here in Phoenix what's going on, as we've got Schlereth and Evans on 104.3 The Fan in Denver. And I have no idea, Mike, if you got a chance to hear this yesterday, but on his weekly appearance with Bickley and Murata, our midday show, Mark let us know how excited he is to talk to Wolf.
How much fun is that going to be? Listening to Wolf, he goes...
Right.
So, Mark, do you have anything on demand you want from Wolf from the start?
No, I just was telling Mike, like, I might have to interpret for Mike because Wolf has got that voice. I mean, he's a fullback. That's what he does.
What's
he just
going
runs
on,
down
man?
And runs down and blows people up on special teams. It's awesome.
Hey, you know
good
what?
To
honestly,
talk to you, man.
They're trying to eliminate the wedge, as we all know, right? They're trying to eliminate the wedge. How in the world
takes it personal.
You cannot have a wedge in today's NFL is ridiculous. By the way, you only got two anyways. So why in the world would you allow two guys to stand shoulder to shoulder when I'm going to kill both of them?
Mark,
you nailed it.
Yes,
you nailed
it. Did I tell
you? You nailed it.
All right.
You know how I. You know, Wolfie, you know how I knew I wasn't as tough as you?
What?
Because
you're so full of it.
No, this is how I knew. This is so my first time ever, Hall of Fame game, first game I ever played in Buff, my family, my parents flew down from Alaska because they thought it was not only going to be my first time playing in the NFL, they thought it would be my last time playing in the NFL. They didn't think I'd play. So I run down on kickoff and I get a wedge bust and an assist on a tackle. Because I was number 69, I was 285, and nobody thought I was going to cover a kick, right?
Yeah.
So like, I'm like going, I'm going to make the team on special teams. I'll make the team on special. That's what I thought. The next time I ran down on kickoff cover, I'm just running neck tall, you know, just running as fast as I could, and I could run.
Yeah.
And nobody's even coming close to me. And this little fullback, one of your people, about 5'10", 245, circled around and sniped me right under the chin.
Oh.
And, I mean, just the first thing that hit was the back of my helmet on the turf.
Mouth guard come out.
Completely blacked out, right? Seeing stars when I got up. And that's when I knew I was never going to let anybody hit me like that again. I was worthless from that point forward. Good thing I could play offensive line because there's no way I could run down on kickoff.
Oh,
I made that decision right then.
Yes.
So, So, guys, let's get into this. Apparently, you guys in Phoenix are finding out what we knew all along. Mike McCoy really stinks as an offensive coordinator, huh?
Boy, yeah, it's an internal debate on the show, which is funny that you you brought it up, Mike, because I want to give people time. And for me, it was, of all things, you might have said I should have bailed sooner. It was last week when you have first and goal and none of the four plays are run for Fitz. And on the fourth down, Larry Fitzgerald is not on the field. And even if you don't want to use him, I think him being a distraction for somebody is a good idea. Wolf, though, a little like, hey, let's hold on here.
Honestly, right now, just do your job. I'm sick and tired of it. Line up and do your job. You know what? It's okay. You want creativity? That's great. Bruce Arians had no creativity whatsoever. It was bash and bomb offense. We're going to run in between the tackles. Then we're going to pull it out and we're going to throw the ball down the field over your head. He ripped up the NFL for 5 years doing that until quarterback problems and offensive line issues actually derailed it the last couple of years. Having said all of that, right now, right? Do your job. The responsibility, if you just execute the play will work. That's the problem that I have. I think play calling is overrated. It's exaggerated. It's something that a lot of people point to and say, you know what, that's the reason why you lost the game. No, the reason why you lost the game is because you did not have players executing correctly.
Mark, do you agree or are you completely on the other side?
No, I see, listen, with Mike McCoy, I think using players to do what they do best, so getting David Johnson more involved outside the numbers, throwing him the football, letting him be the receiver that he is, I think using players in that vein is probably going to give you the best opportunity. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is, I've done 4 year games. You don't block people up front. You design a double team where 600 is supposed to take care of 300 and 300 wins on a consistent basis.
Amen.
You got guys that are busting along the offensive line. Speaking of busting, David Johnson has busted routes. He's busted pass protections. He's been the first guy to admit it, but he's busted constantly. And at the tight end, it's been a disappointment. It's been a disappointment in the blocking game. Ricky Seals-Jones is a former wide receiver who's not active in that part, and Jermaine Gresham, I had a coach on a different staff tell me he just doesn't look like the guy he has been in the past. Mm-hmm. So I mean, yeah, there's a lot of those things when you look at it from an execution standpoint that you're just not getting done, and that's the first thing. From a creativity standpoint, yeah, let's get David Johnson the ball in space. Let's do some of those things. The other issue that
Stink,
you have...
The only thing I would say, though, Stink, is this right here. Listen, if he's blowing and busting base protections and base routes and base plays,
right,
you're going to get creative?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's why I said, hey, motion him outside the numbers and let him run around. Hey, I will tell you this. The other thing is... You've got two receivers that are really truly slot or
yes.
F receivers.
Yes.
So the two guys that can really play, Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk, play essentially the same position. Outside the numbers, you don't truly have a Z or an X receiver that's a difference maker out there. So, you know, people are playing you strong in the middle of the field. They're
right.
Just saying, hey, the outside edge, we're not afraid of you guys outside. And that's been a big issue with this offense as well. Again, I think it's, obviously, I think first and foremost, it's lack of execution and lack of players to get it done.
All right, let people know what's going on here. We got a simulcast going. Schlereth and Evans, 104.3 The Fan here in Denver. Arizona Sports 98.7, Doug and Wolf out there. Guys, I'm curious, how were Von Miller's comments received down there when he said they're going to come down and kick some, kick some butt?
You know what? Everybody handled it in the standard form, but one of the players that never gets attention outside of this city, because, I mean, an intelligent defensive lineman people just never talk to, is Corey Peters. And I thought he put it the best because he said, yeah, it's weird for someone to say it, but why wouldn't every NFL player think that?
Honestly, everybody's different, but, I don't really believe in bulletin board material. What did he say, that they were going to kick our ass? I mean, I don't know any player that goes into the game not thinking that way. So, I guess it is a little rare for people to openly speak that, but I'm sure that's how he feels, and I would hope that that's how the guys in this locker room feel as well.
Nobody articulated it as well as Corey, but basically everybody was following the company line of why get into it. And I like what Steve Wilks said. If you need Von Miller to get you excited when you're 1-5, we got the wrong guys in here anyway.
Amen. Be internally motivated, not externally motivated. That's the problem that I have. Now there are, and Stank, you know this, there are guys, unfortunately, in the locker room that have to be motivated. There right. are. They're externally motivated guys where now all of a sudden when you go and you say what Von Miller said, it's going to get their attention.
Now they're on point.
It's going to get their attention. Now they're going to focus a little bit better. The concentration will be there. It helps these guys that are not internally motivated. It helps them to actually build that motivation, mm-hmm. right? And to actually build some desperation. So it's the reason why you don't want your players providing any aid, comfort, or shelter to the opposition by actually saying anything that's inflammatory. So why did he say it, guys? Why did he say it?
Well, I think he said it as a motivation to his own team because I think his own team, he's got some of those guys that are daubers down guys, and the way they have been trucked, and they have been absolutely dominant the last 2 weeks as a defense, giving up 219 yards mm-hmm. to Isaiah Crowell and 208 to Todd Gurley. And you know this as well as anybody, man. When you get thunder punched in the lips yep. on a consistent basis, there's nothing more embarrassing for a defense to get run through. Hey, you give up an 80-yard touchdown pass over the top, and you're like, hey, what? You yep. know what? It happens every now and again, right? But when you consistently getting it 8, 6, 9, 7, 14, 12 yards up your mouth, that's the most embarrassing thing that can happen to you.
Guys, we got to roll. Hey, by the way, nice fade by your baseball team this year.
Oh. Okay, that's going to cost you, Mark.
On that note, we got
to
go.
Hey, you don't have to go yet because you want to talk what DeAndre Ayton's going to do coming up on Saturday night. We could do that if you want.
Boys, it's been fun. We'll do it again.
All right, Stank.
We'll see you later. Thanks, guys.
Later, guys.
That's the show Schlereth and Evans. That was fun on 104.3 The Fan in Denver. Not as much fun when we talk to Seattle and say, hey, you want to talk Sonics?
Yeah,
at the end. That wasn't quite as much fun. That's... But that was good. That was good. Coming up next, the Broncos have been gashed by a record no one ever thought could ever be set in futility. Now, can David Johnson add to this record? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Bears in charge of things that you hear that aren't spoken by us. Maloney is in charge of just about everything else. And then there's Doug and Wolf and Paul, live from the Octian Community Studios. Good morning.
I want to hear this tonight right before kickoff. Everyone look at Von Miller. Hey, Von, you can't stop the run, but you can run your mouth? Are you kidding me, pal? Here it comes.
Gotta line up and run it. Run the ball in between the tackles, man. Run it like a mad person. Or die.
Von Miller talking tough. I didn't hear you talking tough against the Rams last week or, KC next week.
You're
going to pick on a 1-5 team?
That's right,
bully. Here we go. Nobody likes a bully. Likes a bully, Von Miller. Just shut it over there.
You know, it's funny. Everybody wants to talk about the Miller. And of course, I mean, that's enormous. The Miller. But for me, I kind of look at John Elway as being the stronger thing. When John Elway says that you guys are soft, wow. I mean, that's the Denver Broncos are coming to State Farm Stadium tonight when their boss said all of you are soft.
Well, maybe John Elway looked at the stats and said, oh, there's a guy in the field who led the NFL last year in sacks and quarterback hits and tackles for loss, and guess what? It's not my guy, Von Miller. It's Chandler Jones, who has led all those categories since 2016. Hey, Von, how about you deliver? Stop talking a good game and start playing one.
Think about this. Through six games now, brace yourself, Basinonians. This is going to be a shocking, startling number. The Broncos' 3-4 defense has allowed 5.56 yards per carry. Think about that.
It's good, Wolf. Going to the hundredths on the decimal. That's solid.
Every time you hand the ball off, they've averaged over 5 yards a carry.
We don't even need third down because we're picking up 10 yards plus in the first two downs running the ball.
Now, listen, the Arizona Cardinals are they've suffered and experienced not having good gap integrity either. Mm. All right? So they have suffered that in the box.
Giving up
but
6 yards
20.
A carry at Minnesota.
They're number 20 overall in yards per play allowed, rushing yards per play allowed. Nowhere even close to the 5.56. Are you kidding me? The Arizona Cardinals have got to line up and run the ball. It is the stoppable force meeting the movable object.
2 weeks
tonight.
Ago, Broncos played the New York Jets. Isaiah Crowell had 219 yards rushing. Last week, you mentioned the Rams, Paul. Todd Gurley had 208 yards rushing. Therefore,
ouch,
that made the Broncos the only team. And remember how much of this game was a running game from, I don't know, since it started until about the 90s. Nobody in rush defense had ever given up 200 yards rushing to two different running backs in back-to-back weeks. I mean, think about it. O.J. Simpson.
Wow.
And then maybe going up against you, and then you had the Steelers next week and Franco Harris or something. I mean, it never, ever happened.
Did you ever see some of those San Diego Charger defenses?
Yes.
And it never happened to them.
And that's what the Broncos, and how does this not feed right into what is the big, I mean, if you went through the most surprising things of all of the NFL this year, one of them that doesn't get talked about because the Cardinals stink is David Johnson.
Yes.
I mean, there is no, in all of the things that you would predict at the beginning of the season, no one's going to predict David Johnson is arguably a top 50 running back. Statistically, that's where he's at. He might be a top 50 running back. That's how bad it's gotten. So you're sitting here in a game plan where Mike McCoy has to know that you've got problems if you can't get a run game started against this team. Steve Keim has to know you didn't do a good job with this offensive line if you can't get the run game going against this team. Every human being in this organization that's not in charge of defense for the Cardinals has to look in the mirror if you can't torch this Broncos defense. And yet the Broncos defense, guess what they're thinking? The exact same thing against this terrible offense.
We're going to shut them down.
It's the only game I've ever seen in football where both teams are terrible, and yet they think the other team's more terrible than they are.
But when the Cardinals are dead last in the NFL, not just in rushing, but in yards before contact, when their running back is getting hit quicker than any other running back in the NFL, is that on the offensive coordinator? Is that really on the OC, or is that on
no.
the O-line?
No, I'm going to say it's on the offensive line. It's one of the things we were just talking to Mark Schlereth about, stink, right? He was talking about the fact that you've got 600 on 300, and the 300 is winning, meaning those tandem blocks, right? The ace block, deuce block, guard tackle coming off in tandem together, working against that three technique, right? I mean, you've got 600 versus 300, he said, and the 300 has been winning. That just cannot happen. The Cardinals overall, as we all know, number 32 in rushing yards per game, number 32 in rushing yards per play, 3.22.
This isn't a slam on Mason Cole, because I think when you say, as a rookie, people are complimentary about the performance of Mason Cole. But are the numbers that you just gave the same if A.Q. Shipley's the starting center?
Yeah, you know what? Yes. I'm going to say that it's not going to be significantly
okay,
different.
Okay.
Is that okay?
I mean, I'm not saying like he's...
Mason Cole has played poorly.
Okay, okay.
And
I'm talking more mentally, you know, just the whole line playing as one, things like that.
There's no doubt about it. A.Q. Shipley would help that.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Because there's no way I'm saying A.Q. Shipley is like the stud run blocker of all time center that comes off the ball and crushes people by himself.
But again, isn't it curious that a year ago when A.Q. Shipley was the one constant and the rest of the O-line was just changing out with injuries, and at times you had second and third and even four stringers at positions, minus David Johnson, they ran the ball better.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's just
no
undeniable. So that's the only thing that gives me pause on that one. And could Mason Cole easily have a 10-year career as a starting center? Absolutely. Is he equipped right here, right now? Would he have been better served to be in the sixth or seventh or eighth O-lineman, ideally? Yeah. I mean, I just, you know, does he quite have the strength yet to hold up
absolutely.
At the point
He's
of attack?
Have to get stronger.
By the way, this is Steve Wilks being asked about the injuries, and of course you're going to hear about a corner and a safety, but speaking of this O-line, guess what else you hear?
Trey Boston is out for the game. Upati is out as well. His back, Trey Boston ribs. Jeremy Vunovich is out, hamstring. And then Justin Pugh is questionable with his hand, as well as Jamar Taylor. He's questionable as well, his back.
Yeah, you could easily be missing your two starting guards. Justin Pugh sounds like it's going to be a game time decision because they didn't practice this week. He couldn't really test the hand. He couldn't really test, you know, his pain tolerance. How bad is it? Can he really function? And based on what he told us at his locker yesterday, he's going to try and ascertain that in the pregame. And if he's a liability, he can't take a spot. You know, the 46 they're going to address, he can't be a guy who comes in for one play and says, I can't do it, and comes out.
I played zero downs in my life as an offensive lineman. I'm going to assume hands are kind of important for an O-lineman to be able to do things.
I've got to get this in quickly right here, okay? Broncos are number 10 in rushing yards per game and number 1 in rushing yards per play. Do you realize that? I would not be surprised at all if we saw the Arizona Cardinals break out their first true 4-3 defense. 4-3 defense, especially knowing the Broncos are going to get in 21 personnel. They're going to get in two back. It's going to happen, and they're going to run the ball, and they're going to use play action to throw the ball out of 21 personnel.
What do you mean the first 4-3, meaning they've been nickel as their base almost all the time?
No, okay. Nickel has been their base.
Yeah.
I'm talking about really using three linebackers.
All right. That's an adjustment.
I wouldn't be surprised to see it. Something's got to give on this.
Yeah.
I wonder if you're going to see a different three technique. I wonder if you're going to see a different inside linebacker, period, because there were a lot of hints dropped this week about those who are not accountable or not getting it done are not going to be saved by their draft status. Hint, hint, hint.
That's strong. We'll see what happens. Paul will be on the sideline. Wolf will be up in the booth with Dave Pasch. You can hear the whole game here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Our coverage starts at 1:30 today. Hey, Burns and Gamble, get a job. You know, it starts at 1:30 today. And if you want Coyotes, they're on News Talk 92.3 KTAR in Chicago. And Tim and Jeff will have the play-by-play of the Sun Devils against Stanford tonight on ESPN 620 AM. Join Kevin McCabe and AZ Preps live Saturday from 9 to 11 at the Chick-fil-A off the 17 and the 101 in Deer Valley. You'll have the chance to win free Chick-fil-A for a year, Suns and Coyotes tickets, and more. Visit the events page at ArizonaSports.com for details on the Chick-fil-A High School Football Roadshow Series. Thanks. Need a breath. DeAndre Ayton's debut was outshined by Devin Booker. So what did Vince Murata see as your PA voice of your Phoenix Suns? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Oh, no. No. Say it with me. Are you talking to me? DeAndre Ayton. Oh, yeah, DeAndre. Ray. Spec. Doncic. Ray. Spec. Beating Luka Doncic. You're playing the Dallas Mavericks. Nobody's keeping score on Doncic. Yeah.
Your Pantera call-out is driven by AutoNation with 13 dealerships in the Valley and over 100,000 new and pre-owned vehicles on AutoNation.com. Find out what you're looking for today. How many people picked DeAndre Ayton to have more assists than Luka Doncic in the opener? I mean, who picked that? Right now, sitting in the...
I don't know what you're talking about, Douglas. I wasn't keeping score.
No, can you imagine if there was an NBA owner that was actually considering taking Doncic over Ayton? That would be scary. Right now, Vince Murata is joining us in in the Octane Community Studio right now. Your PA voice of your Phoenix Suns.
Yes.
Okay. The single greatest sporting event I have ever attended in my life was the first game of the Amari Stoudemire Boris Diaw suspensions. I mean, no matter what sporting event it was, that was unbelievable. One of the worst sporting events that I have ever been to was Eric Bledsoe being sat down end of the season Suns games a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. So sorry, Suns, that you have the highs and the lows of my athletic fandom.
Yeah.
Thank you. So I ask you, Vince, as the PA voice, last night's atmosphere, obviously it wasn't the boos for the Spurs and the famous phrase that was on that screen.
Just ask them the question.
We're all against you. And then it wasn't 2 years ago. Where was this atmosphere?
It was up pretty high. I think it's the best atmosphere beginning of game to end of game that I've experienced. Not obviously in Suns history, but since I've been on that job. There had been individual moments. I mean, when Tyler Ulis hit the buzzer beater against Boston, Bledsoe had one against Portland. Those were like peak moments. Mm-hmm. But there were, I mean, the atmosphere, that felt like a real NBA arena last night. And coming off the doldrums of the second half of last season, it was so much fun. Like, I walked out of there, and I just had a smile on my face. That's the way it's supposed to feel.
Yeah.
Is it going to feel like that every night? I don't know, but, man, the first taste we got of the Suns this year was a lot of fun.
So, speaking of feeling right there, when you walked away, or when you were watching the game, I should say, and you're doing your job, of course, announcing names and doing your PA thing, whatever that is, Ben, really don't know. But while you were doing that, did you ever say to yourself, Ayton's better than Doncic? I mean, it's strange.
And even crazier, you had to say he's in better shape than Doncic.
It's so ridiculous.
You know, that's one of the things I noticed, is I think Doncic has a little bit of fat potential. There's not a whole lot of definition going on there.
Yeah, you should help him out since you're good at losing weight.
So were you comparing at all?
Yeah, I was comparing before the game. We had the round table on our show, and then Burns and Gambo had a round table yesterday, and we talked about that very thing. We're in the overreaction business, as are fans in 2018 when it comes to sports. If Doncic came out and really played well and ate and struggled, I said there was going to be people contacting us, whether it was on Twitter, email, trying to call the shows, saying, oh, they made a mistake.
And it would happen in Sacramento, too. They said, why didn't you get Doncic at number two?
Absolutely.
I mean, it was funny.
Bagley had 6 points last night in his first game.
Yeah. If you did not see the game or you didn't get to hear about the game, listen to the crowd reaction behind Al McCoy.
Now they get it in the corner. Matthews will try a three. Not going to go. And Ayton up for his first rebound in a...
That was just a rebound. I mean, he got a rebound, and you can hear that. I thought you were going to break in on the PA. Ladies and gentlemen, that's DeAndre Ayton's first rebound as a Sun.
There was a couple of possessions, too. When he got the ball down low, there was a buzz, and you could feel it rising. There was a couple times Doncic got switched off on him defensively, and it really got loud, especially when he took him, you know, he scored on him and got the and one.
Do you know who is the – here's your trivia question for the NBA, since for Vinny Joe trivia. Who is the NBA – public address announcer that became the first one to ever announce a Doncic foul in Doncic's career?
That would be me?
Yes.
There's Ayton inside. Score it. And he had Doncic against him, and he's going to be fouled. He'll go to the line here, getting the first hoop.
Talk about the obscure.
Yeah, they're not going to care. They're not going to care in Dallas.
Just a trick question.
They're not going to care in Dallas at all of when did Doncic get his first foul. But I will always remember Doncic's first foul as an NBA player was an 8-1. It's just another tie-in, just like three mistakes. You know, just like the 2018 NFL draft and the quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. This 2018 NBA draft could be legendary, and everybody's going to be compared to each other for the next 10 to 15 years.
But maybe the most exciting part of all of it is, for as good as Ayton was and as relaxed as he was and efficient as he was, he's not the story of last night's game for the Suns.
Booker did not score in the fourth quarter until 6:44.
And he ended up with 19.
He
took over the game.
Yeah. And his first game back from surgery on his shooting hand.
Yes.
Everything that, and I get people, yesterday I got people doubting me. I used the term maniacal competitor to describe Devin Booker, and I got a response on Twitter. How can he be a maniacal competitor when he doesn't play any defense? We saw it last night. The game got close, and he said, this ain't going to happen tonight, and he took it to an extreme level.
So other than DeAndre Ayton, of course, and D-Book, the stories of the game, who's the one guy that also impressed you, that grabbed you?
Do I have to narrow it down to one? Because there was a lot. I mean,
exactly. I know, and that's why.
When's
I asked,
the last time we had
difficult.
To say that about a Suns game?
I know
game.
It's difficult.
I loved what I saw from Josh Jackson last night.
I did too.
I loved what I saw from T.J. Warren. Where'd that 3-point shot come from?
3-for-4.
Yeah, 3-for-4,
and not just corner threes.
Did his damage in the first half. Jackson took over in the second half. Trevor Ariza is a pro's pro.
Trevor
loved what
Ariza.
I saw.
That's the name that
Barkley said on your show, most underrated player in the NBA.
And you saw, I mean, Houston was struggling to find a one-game identity last night. They looked horrible. Trevor Ariza's not there anymore. And there's a big reason. A lot of people are upset for that very fact.
I want to add to Wolf's list there, and that is Igor. because could it have worked any better than no point guard, but the spacing was fantastic, the shooting was fantastic, Ayton was fantastic early, and yet then Devin Booker had plenty of energy to say, okay, now it's D-Book time, and then he takes over the last 6.5 minutes of the game. There's a lot of, not coaching like a hardcore X and O, I drew up this play and we win, but there was the philosophy, game one, mm-hmm. one game, but the philosophy of Igor Kokoschkov shined last night in a very strong way.
Yeah, and I think, you know, his offense is predicated on ball movement. It's been talked about so much, and everybody's saying, oh, what about a point guard? What about a point guard?
35 assists?
I don't remember a game where that's been the stat. I didn't look it up this morning, but it's pretty rare territory for this team in recent years. But maybe the philosophy of ball movement is enough, and I know it's only one game. Again, we're in the overreaction yep. business. Maybe that philosophy is enough to overcome the lack of a true point guard. When you have your center dishing out 6 assists, I think they had 4 guys in the starting lineup with six or more assists.
Yes.
To see if you share the ball well, every team, look at it. I mean, this goes to your soul as a team. Assist to turnover ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Turnovers are how often are you trying to be the hero, and assists are how much are you cognizant of the people around you. 35-11 was the assist to a turnover ratio for the Suns.
And when you look at the percentage of baskets that were assisted,
exactly.
I mean, that's such a high number last night.
44 made field goals. 35 assists.
Yeah.
Think about that. Stunning.
I got one more bit of trivia for you.
Oh, well, here we go.
Vinny Joe trivia. Can you name the players in NBA history
no.
that in their first game scored at least 18 points, grabbed 10 rebounds, and dished out 6 assists? Now, there's an asterisk by it because it's only tracked until the early 70s by Basketball Reference, but can you name those players?
How many?
Yes.
How many are there?
One. DeAndre Ayton is the first guy to do it.
The only person I was going to guess was, I remember LeBron having a good debut.
Yeah.
I was going to go with LeBron.
Yeah.
Wow.
Vinny, you big beautiful. I'm so glad we brought you on just for that right there. That's nails, man.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Good effort.
Is this where I drop the mic and leave?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Bickley and Murata coming up from not... 10-2 today, as Vince has just decided to walk out at 1:30 and say, I'm done here.
Drop
because we're
mic,
starting
man.
Our pregame coverage of Cardinals and Denver Broncos coming up at State Farm Stadium. You've got an opportunity to subscribe to the Doug and Wolf podcast. Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android, and you'll never miss any of the show. It's the Doug and Wolf podcast, brought to you this week by Kinetico. Von Miller had some strong comments the other day. So how did the Cardinals handle it? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.